Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello everyone everywhere, Pastor Bob Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. We're so blessed that you're joining us today. You know, with the situation going on at the time of this recording with the pandemic and a lot of shutdowns and people unemployed and losing their jobs, losing their homes, losing their businesses, not knowing where their next paycheck's coming from, this is perilous times for sure. But a good friend of ours, Ken Rupert, he's the founder of the Financial Black Belt Financial Management System. He's an author of the book, and a speaker, and producer, and a master Christian life coach who helps his clients achieve financial stability. And Ken's been on several times over the past couple of years. And, you know, folks, this is a very important episode you need to listen to. I mean, he's the author of several books just on strategic planning and spiritual development. And I'll put the links to the books down below in the show notes. But I urge you to check them out because they're going to give you a lot of great tips and insight into the things we're going to be talking about today. Now, Ken has a degree in business administration and management. He's got over 30 years of experience in corporate America, has many years of working as a strategic analyst, and this has positioned him to help others overcome the stresses of life and the pressure of financial problems. Ken is a Maryland native, a U.S. Army and Maryland National Guard vet, and a devoted, loving husband and father. And if you missed any of our other prior interviews, I'm telling you, you can get a whole lot of information on your financial well-being and how to improve your overall financial fitness just by going back to our archives and listening to these great tips that Ken's provided in the past. Just go to the search bar, type in Ken Rupert, and all of his interview episodes will pop right up. For right now, help me welcome to the program our good friend, Ken Rupert. Ken, thank you for coming back on the program today.
Well, Bob, it's been a long time, and
about a year,
and I miss our conversation. So I'm hoping that, you know, you're right. We're facing some very perilous times right now. A lot of people don't know what to do. And so hopefully we can give them some nuggets of truth and some a different way of thinking about things and maybe reprioritizing and being back on a track that's going to be productive and profitable in the future.
Amen. Well, for those that may not have heard our prior interviews, you know, the last interview was almost a year ago, and we've got many new listeners since then. So tell us in your own words, who is Ken Rupert?
Well, you know, I used to say I'm just the average person, right? But what I've realized, especially through this last 12 months, is that the amount of knowledge it takes to be able to put yourself in a position, what I often say, position yourself to be able to take the impact of negative situations. It really doesn't take a lot of knowledge. What it takes is a strategy. It takes the ability to say, these are my resources. These are my assets. Now, how can I best manage these in order to create, you know, stability? And so I've realized that being a strategist is really not just the average person, because I've talked to so many people who really don't know what to do. They don't even know where to start. And so that's what I really think I've come to learn about myself, is that, you know, I am able to take seemingly unrelated things, put them together, and build a network of strategic plays, for lack of a better term, that actually are profitable. And it doesn't take a lot to get there. It just takes being able to capture that and seeing that average people can do this if they're taught by somebody who knows what they're doing.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Well, before we get into the five nuggets of wisdom that I want to ask you about today, how did you get started in the Black Belt financial system that you've perfected?
Well, so there's two aspects of it, right? I've always been kind of intrigued by investing, and back in the early 1990s, after I'd gotten married, my wife approached me and said, hey, you know, I think we should be in investing. And it was totally foreign to me. But like anything, it's like a challenge. So I stepped out and I said, okay, I'm going to start learning about this. And we started learning about it, and I read about it, and I started studying the market, and I started getting really intrigued by the amount of analytics it took to really, you know, kind of understand how these companies work and how the sectors and the industries all work together, and how political actions or world events can impact that, and how it creates opportunity within those sectors. And so that's kind of where it all started. But then in 2015, the stress of being a parent of a special needs child had really started taking its toll. And I realized that I was literally eating myself to death. I had become an overeater. I was almost 300 pounds. And I realized that if I'm going to be around for my son, who was going to need me for many, many years, and then also I had to be able to generate the kind of income and wealth that was going to provide for his needs 40 years after my death, I needed to take care of myself physically. So before I met my wife, I was actually involved in martial arts. And I decided, you know what, that's what I need. I need to be around people who are doing the same thing I'm doing. I can learn together, and it will give me some sort of physical outlet. And so I started working out at Global Martial Arts in Hampstead. And lo and behold, I didn't start off wanting to earn a black belt. I started off just wanting to regain the discipline that I had prior to when I was in the military. And what it turned into was, all of a sudden, as I started going up in the belt ranks, I started becoming more and more aligned with, hey, I could actually, at 56 years old, become a black belt. And so I worked really hard, and I tested in December of 2018 and earned my first degree black belt in Hapkido.
Amen.
And in that process, I started realizing, so we had this board at the Hapkido studio that goes white belt through purple belt, and then there's a gap, and then there's another board with brown belt through red black belt. And I started kind of like looking at these different belts, and each belt you learn a different technique, and then the next belt you enhance that technique, and the next belt you enhance that technique. You never forget the basics, but you keep enhancing and keeping growing and learning more and more techniques until you eventually get the black belt. And I started realizing that the financial strategies that I had used my whole life to build wealth fit perfectly in alignment with these belts. And so that's where the financial black belt was really born. Was, amen, you do these particular principles, incorporate these strategies, and set these goals, and each belt you attain, you've achieved a financial marker. And by the time you get to black belt, you actually become a, what they call a net worth millionaire. You have $1 million in assets and cash, you know, or cash equivalents. And then it just goes up from there. Second degree, you're focusing on $1 million in a different way. And then by the time you get to fourth degree, you have about $2.2 million.
Amen.
By executing these strategies. So that's kind of how it all came together. And I've been, you know, I wrote a book on it. I'm working on my book that's just called The Black Belts. Now I'm just focusing on, what do you do after you make first degree?
Amen.
And how it goes from there.
Amen. Is that book published yet?
No, I told my wife, I said, it's my goal to get it out this year, because it incorporates options trading, it incorporates leveraged ETF trading, it incorporates a lot of different strategies that the black belt uses to continue to build wealth. And, you know, when this pandemic hit, I lost about 26% of my money.
Yeah.
But by the end of the year, I was actually up 10%.
Crazy.
And because it's just all incorporating strategies and learning how to play. You know, you can actually make money in a down market, and there's a way to do that, right?
Amen.
But that's the secret that the professionals hide from the average person, because, of course, they don't want the average person doing that.
Yeah, amen, amen. Well, these are definitely trying times that we're in right now. Glory to God. And I remember you talking about how someone, they have to take steps from where they're at right now to prepare for unprecedented times that, you know, they can't foresee coming. That was all in our prior interviews. Has that type of preparation, you just alluded to, you know, you made some money in the stock market and all that, but has that type of preparation helped you in the day and time that we find ourselves now to
absolutely
your day-to-day lives?
Absolutely. The first six belts, for white belt through purple belt, are all designed on defense. Now, the way of the martial artist is, you don't go on offense, right? The idea is to never use it. But what you have to do is you have to be able to identify physical threats. And then when you identify that physical threat, you neutralize it. And then you go on offense and you strike back to then take away any potential for a continued attack, right? Same thing in financial self-defense. You identify the financial threats, and then once you've identified it and it happens, you neutralize that threat, and then you move on to your offense and you attack it.
Amen.
Because with every threat, there is an opportunity. Everybody that throws a punch, you block the punch, and then you strike. Okay, so you've got your neutralizing the threat, and then you take your offensive attack. That's the same thing in financial self-defense. I actually kind of saw a stock market bubble in December of 2019. I moved to 32% cash in all my accounts. And what happened was I didn't know that it was going to be COVID, but I knew something was seeming to come. Something was going to be coming that was going to cause that bubble to pop. And then I would be positioned with a lot of dry powder and I would have the opportunity to then go on offense. Well, as soon as COVID hit, the market tanked. You know, March 23rd was like a really, really, really bad day on the market, but it was a great day for me because there were stocks that were on sale. And I was now going to take some of that cash and I was going to go out and I was going to start buying. Amen. During this process, I actually worked with my brother, who's an accountant, and we actually created a systematic analytical spreadsheet that kind of identified what stocks were great buys. And we used it using technical markers and everything, and we've never looked back. My brother, who actually started investing during this time, I'd actually been working with him on trying to encourage him to invest, and he actually started. He's done phenomenal in the last 12 months.
Praise the Lord.
I remember. And it's all about, you know, positioning yourself, really.
Yeah. Amen. Well, I remember last time you shared about how each family needs to have basically three major accounts, a checking account, a savings account, and a separate emergency account. Can you briefly go over that information again for our listeners? I believe some people will be better able to relate to what you're talking about today than they could before.
Sure. So the checking account is primarily for paying your monthly bills. It's a cash flow account, right? You want to keep one 1.5 to 2 times cash flow of what your monthly expenses are. So it's just money in, money out. It's a cash flow. And the reason why it's going to fluctuate, obviously, is because you're paying bills at different parts of the month. The point is that you always have about 2 times cash flow flowing through, so you never get caught not being able to pay a bill. And my process is really all based upon strategy and priority. You prioritize your expenditures, and then you set up the checking account to maintain that priority. The savings account is a buffer, right? It has about 1.5 times your monthly expenses in it, but it's a stagnant account. It is a value account, right? It has the value of 1.5 times your monthly expenses. The idea is not to have to use it, but it creates a buffer. Mm-hmm. So if something comes up at your child school, yearbooks, class rings, a senior trip, whatever it is, that money is just kind of sitting there. It's not part of your budget, but it's sitting there and it kind of puts that buffer between you and life. And the third one is I always recommend a money market account for the emergency fund. First of all, money market accounts tend to pay a little bit of interest, which is good. If you can get a tax-free money market account, all the better. But the point is you start off with 3 to 6 months of emergency fund money that will eventually increase as you go up your belt ranks. That will eventually increase to 1 times your net salary in your emergency fund.
Amen.
And at purple belt, it'll be 1 times your gross salary. So if you make $50,000, you're going to have $50,000 sitting in this emergency fund. If your expenses are $24,000 a year and you got $50,000 sitting in an emergency fund, you see that you can actually last through these prolonged periods of downturn. If you lose your job, you can always pay your monthly expenses because you have that emergency fund sitting there. And certainly that has worked on many occasions on either when I faced a layoff or in this past case, we're sitting with 1 times my annual salary in an emergency fund. Things go south, You know, you can continue to pay your bills. You don't have to worry about your electric being cut off. You don't have to worry about putting gas in the car, putting food on the table. That stuff is there because you've accounted for it. That positioning, that pre-positioning yourself helps you neutralize that financial threat and then seize the financial opportunity.
Amen. And naturally, you know, if your expenses are $24,000 and you got $50,000, it's not just those expenses. You're probably going to, if you lose your job and you're relying now on that emergency income to sustain you through, you're naturally going to start cutting back on certain expenses that we go in and out of the checking account instead of eating out to dinner three times a week or whatever, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you could go even farther than 2 years with that.
Exactly. Because chances are, if you're not driving to a job every day, you're not burning gas, right? So there are also, one of the weirdest things that happened, my wife and I looked, and actually our water bill over this past 12 months has gone down. And it's like, how does that happen? You know, I mean, you wouldn't expect that, but it's just being really conservative with that. You know, you don't water the lawn. You don't do simple things that you normally would have done because you're looking at life from a totally different perspective at this point, but you're positioned that if you wanted to keep those activities up, you could. But we all know that in times of trouble, especially when they shut down the restaurants, you're not going to be going out to eat. So you're actually going to, you're going to stretch that money much further.
Amen. Let's talk about these five nuggets of wisdom that you're sharing and teaching your clients. First, tell us how you came up with these, and then we'll talk about what nugget number one is.
Yeah, so they kind of developed over the past 12 months of me kind of looking at what I've experienced, what I've observed, and just realized that, you know, sometimes we need to understand that troubling times are not meant for our demise. Troubling times are actually meant for us to learn something. Yeah. We can then take this and process this in a different way. And what I started thinking about was some things that actually happen in nature and how they apply or how we can make application to them to maybe think a little differently and build a little hope into the future based on what we're learning today and through this time. So, I thought, I'm going to give you all five of them and then we'll go back and we'll unpack them a little bit. Because I think that might be the best way to kind of get them out there. So the first one is you cannot produce gold without digging below the surface.
Yeah, true.
The second one is every pearl begins as a grain of sand. Mm-hmm. And you could put that another way by saying at the center of every pearl is a grain of sand. The third one is every piece of coal has the potential to become a diamond. The fourth one is the same rain that washes away the soil in the summer provides a blanket of snow to insulate the soil in the winter. And the fifth one is the same wind that lifts the aircraft slows it down. And I know that you're a pilot, so you understand that one. Yeah. We'll unpack that, and I'm sure you'll have wisdom on that one alone.
Amen. That's good. So nugget number one, when you first said that, I was like, oh, man, that is so obvious and so true. You can't get gold without going digging.
Yep. Amen. So, you know, unpacking that a little bit is you can't surface mine, but you still have to remove the surface of the ground to get down to the gold ore. And, you know, we're gonna go with the idea that people have maybe never been exposed to gold mining. I went out to Leeds, South Dakota, and toured a gold mine, and it was fascinating. They were down at the 10,000-foot level.
Wow.
And the guy was telling us that, you know, the first couple hundred feet, it actually gets cooler in the mine. Mm-hmm. But as you go further and further down, it gets hotter and hotter because, of course, you're getting closer to the core.
Yep.
And at the 10,000-foot level, they actually have to blow in oxygen so people can breathe because there is no oxygen at 10,000 feet.
Yeah.
And they have to blow in air conditioning because the temperature is like 140 degrees. So if you want to get to the good gold ore, you have to dig deep underneath the surface. And you have to realize it's going to get hot when you start to do that. Now, introspection during times like this produce character. It brings out a certain discipline in you. And, you know, not only after you get the gold ore, you're in a temperature, you know, you're in 140 degrees and you're trying to get gold ore. And now you got to bring it up to the surface. You got to crush it. You got to process it to get the gold out of it. So there's a lot of work that we have to do. And these are the times, you know, troubling times are meant for us to dig deep and to try to find that vein of gold ore in us. Because if we want to produce something valuable, we're going to have to dig deep. We're going to have to go down to where it's hot. The other thing is you have to pick the right material, right? So there's a lot of different things that are mined for, right? There's a salt mine at the shores of Lake Erie in Ohio. And they go down and they do what? They produce salt. They get it out from underneath of Lake Erie, actually. They produce salt so we can have salt to put down on our roads in the wintertime. Mm-hmm. Right? It's valuable, but it's not going to be that shiny, valuable thing that everybody wants to possess. You can turn your life in hard times like this into something valuable that people want to possess. And it's all about your attitude and your discipline and your principles. People are going to see how you fare, and they're going to say, you know what? I want what that person has. And a lot of that digging deep is something that God's already put in us, right? But we don't know it's there, and he wants to bring it out. So oftentimes he uses these hard times to cause us to go mining and looking for that gold inside of us that we can then bring up and possess that other people would say, I want what that person has. And so that's kind of where that one developed and came from. So you can mine for a lot of different things, you know, and a lot of nobody mines for something that's not of value.
Yeah.
So everybody has something of value in them, and during troubling times, we have to dig a little deeper in the surface and try to find that beautiful object of value within us that we want to bring out. So that's where that one came from.
And, you know, when just about the value aspect, yeah, I mean, I grew up in Michigan, and, you know, the salt mine was 15 miles from my home, you know, and it always amazed me because they always had piles of salt. I was like, where are they getting this stuff from, you know, and it's down under, you know, Lake Huron and all that.
Yep.
Well, it's not, you know, well, okay, you get a ton of salt and, you know, you could probably go down and buy directly from the mine a ton of salt for a couple $100, you know, but it's not valuable. Someone, oh, yeah, salt. So what? Well, you get a good ice storm going, all of a sudden, that is a commodity that is in demand. and that's so the perceived value is who needs it at that point in time, you know?
Yeah.
And I think when people are building a business and all that, it's like, well, you know, this isn't really a really big market maker over here. And well, that's because you're in the shaping process, you know. Like you said, when you went with that gold mine, you know, they got all these piles of rocks there and all that. And saying, I don't see any gold in there, but the little flakes are in there. They're going to get it out because they got that ton of gravel, which is basically all it looks like. By the time they finish, there might be, you know, 15, 20 pounds of gold from that ton of gravel, you know. So, yeah, so it's all the perceived value. You know, I don't care about that. You know, a car mechanic. You know, like, oh man, I wouldn't want to be a car mechanic, you know, working like that. When your car breaks down, who are you going to go see?
Yeah.
And when he says, this is how much it's going to cost, you're like, okay, you know, because you got to get it running. You know?
So yeah. Value tends to be, you know, if you have something of value, it will eventually come out because there's going to be a time and place. And whether we go through situations like this where people are saying, what am I going to do? I live paycheck to paycheck. You know, I've never been able to get ahead. Well, now is a good, this is a good motivator to say, you know what? Don't ever let this happen to you again.
Yeah. Amen.
Figure out a way, learn from somebody. You know, what I do is I teach via online meetings. I've got one client in Ohio and one down in Florida. So they're geographically dispersed. But the point is that, you know, these days we can use technology. Yeah. Don't feel like just because you're in a different state, you're not in the state of Maryland or whatever, that you can't have this knowledge. This knowledge is easy to learn and it's profitable. And it will, I'm sure you could probably attest to the value of just those three accounts and understanding how they work and what they're for.
Amen.
You know, so it's definitely something that, you know, salt may not seem valuable today, but there comes a winter in everybody's life where all of a sudden you're possessing salt and somebody else needs it. You know, and Christ calls us to be the salt and light.
That's right.
So at some point, that's going to be a value, and at some point, that's going to be used to help somebody else. But if you mine it in your life, you'll be able to use it to help others mine it in theirs.
Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. We're all out of time for this portion of today's interview with a very good friend of our ministry, Ken Rupert. Ken is the founder of the Financial Black Belt Financial Management System. And folks, I'm telling you, you need to check out this service. It's meant the difference in my family's survival during this time of COVID. Now, I admit going in that I am nowhere near the level Ken is at, but by implementing the things he's talking about during this past year or so, we were in a position where we did not have to worry about our finances during these shutdowns. Amen? That is just 1 year or so of working with Ken's system. I'm telling you folks, you owe it to yourself and to your family to go to the links down below and check out Ken Rupert's website and services. Amen? As a minimum, you need to go down below and order one or more or all of his books. As an author, his books not only share the Word of God and give you encouragement in the day and time in which we live, but order his financial books and start to implement his strategies, and you will see the results yourself. Folks, that is all the time we have for today. For Ken Rupert, myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.